Grace and peace to all who join us today for worship on the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. This is the lectionary for this Sunday. Just thought I'd throw that one in so that you know. And we greet all of you in the name of Jesus the Christ. And our sacred greeting is extended to those who have gathered in our sanctuary. It's good to see all of you here today, including some new faces, as well as the many who participate online. And of course, we have ministered online for many years here at Mayflower. But because of the pandemic, all of us are more familiar with its importance. So a special thank you to Kim Finneson, our production manager, who serves also, at least in a fiduciary role as kind of a pastor to those people that are watching online. And often when I go back to check on that, Kim has communicated with anybody that might be having difficulty or whatever. And then he's got a lot going on back there. So Kim, as always, we thank you. So I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service is coming to you from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. And I'm joined by our worship team, as always. Our special musician today is Barb Fuller, and you. Did you know that? You are part of our special music today, and I think you will be given instructions to that a little bit later. So get ready, folks. You're it. So perform well for all those folks that are watching online. Today's liturgist is Gail Sawyer, and she comes now to make an announcement or two.
Good morning, Mayflower. Good morning. In accordance with the bylaws of Mayflower Congregational Church of Lansing, Michigan, and as the lay leader of Mayflower Church, I am calling a brief, special congregational meeting to be held on Sunday, October 24th, 2021, immediately following worship service. According to the bylaws of Mayflower Church, this meeting will be announced on three consecutive Sundays: today, October 10th, October 17th, and October 24th. This meeting will be held for the purpose of fulfilling a current vacancy of the lay leader elect position on the Prudential Council. Tom Hacker held the position of lay leader elect since our annual meeting this past January 2021. In consultation with him, he has decided to step aside at this time, but he continues to actively support the ministry of Mayflower Church. The nominating committee has met with the nominee, Ruth Posh, who has accepted the nomination to become our lay leader elect. And I do have a second announcement. I apologize. Pastor Mark, would you please come up here for the next announcement?
Where?
Right up here. Right. I like telling him where to go.
She does that a lot.
Today, October 10th, is Pastor Appreciation Day. I think the congregation would agree with me that it would be very difficult to find a pastor who is more appreciated than Pastor Mark. I could stand here all day and think of wonderful things to say about you, and I know the congregation would echo whatever I said. But in the essence of time, I'll be brief. We thank God for you as you serve with a willing heart, a joyful spirit, and a continued faithfulness. Your ministry truly makes a difference because you live what you believe. And of course, Pastor's Appreciation Day includes appreciation for the pastor's wife, Deanne, would you join us?
My far better half.
Deanne, we also honor you on this day with great appreciation for all that you do. Remember, behind every good man is a good woman. The flowers on the altar today are in honor of you. And after church today, we're going to have a special celebration outside with a few more surprises. So thank you from your congregation.
That was kind of sneaky, Gail. Oh, I tell you. Wow, just checking here. So, whatever happens, we'll look forward to seeing you outside, and looks like we have a good day for it. Where was I? Today begins our observance of Consecration Sunday, or a month, and it will continue through October 31st. On that day, my brother-in-law, somebody who is very familiar to this church and who watches regularly online almost every Sunday, along with his beloved wife, Beth, who is Deanne's sister, will be here giving the message. And we're going to flip things around that day, and I'll be the one giving the only 3 to 5 minutes of talk in terms of what Mayflower means to me. So that's the switcheroo that you can look forward to, and Dr. Paul Patton will be here, and he will bring a message having a lot to do with how he observes Mayflower, and the context for that, and what it means to be involved in a healthy church. So we have a lot to look forward to this month, and on each of the Sundays, we'll have someone else that will share, and today it will be Arlene Moore in just a little bit. Just keep in mind that all of you will have access, and hopefully have in your possession, so some of you do now, is the card that you'll have the opportunity to place a financial pledge on. But I want to remind everyone, both members and friends of Mayflower alike, that there's also another check mark on there for those that, for whatever reason, cannot make a financial pledge, that you will, to the best of your ability, be able to support us with your prayers and attendance. Those things are in so many ways just as important, especially with your prayers. So I just want to make you aware that while we encourage financial support, we also know that for whatever reason, people are sometimes unable to do that. And so we want to give everyone an opportunity to come forward and express in the way that you can and we can on that day to all of us give our support, especially thinking about our love and consecration to God, and then through the ministry of the Mayflower Church. Another thing that you will want to know, I think most of you knew Laura Anderson, who passed away a few months ago, but we are planning on the 7th of November, which will be Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, a celebration of life service for Laura Anderson. And we have some wonderful things in plan and in store for that day. There will be some others, including some family members that will be here, some work associates. Most of you know that Laura worked well into her late 90s at Lynn and Owens Jeweler downtown Lansing. And Stuart, the owner of Lynn and Owens, will be here. He'll be sharing, and we are going to dedicate that service to our friend, our longtime member, and delightful person, a godly person, Laura Anderson. Just a few things to keep in mind. These are just reminders. Some of us will be walking this week for the crop walk, which is the support of hunger, both around the world and in our local community. Deanna and I are mapping out our walk, which will include anywhere from 6 to 10 miles this week. So we're going to do our part. And the other things just that are ongoing to be reminded of is hurricane relief. If you'd like to be involved in that and have not yet done that, we are sending our contribution to the Salvation Army as usual, and then we are winding up our support, financial support opportunity for Sally Potter, who was here a few weeks ago, and her ministry as a public school teacher at Waverly High School. So with these and other things, let us now worship God.
Family, and welcome to worship. In the oldest of congregational traditions, the place of both worship and community life was called the meeting house. While we are all impressed with Gothic-style sanctuaries adorned with ornamental symbols of the faith, our congregational history takes us back to a time when simplicity was a core value. At Mayflower, we honor that tradition and core value in a modern setting with the simple beauty of our meeting house. This helps us to avoid the lure and attraction of wealth and privilege, because Jesus had some rather shocking words to say about the dangers of wealth. The Pharisees and the disciples were both astounded at the words of Jesus. Regardless of our emotional response to the words of Jesus, our hope is that this service will help us to take his words seriously and to make needed changes where necessary as followers of Christ. Thanks be to God.
Will you come and follow me?
Let us pray. O gracious God and loving Lord, we have entered into your gates with thanksgiving and praise. We anticipate the music, the prayers offered, the scriptures read, and the words spoken. Sometimes, however, we are not fully prepared to receive from the Lord words that can astound us, perplex us, or even shock us. So we ask our Lord to soften and tenderize our hearts and minds to receive the words of the Lord with joy and openness, with a renewed ability to think, contemplate, and then change. Help us, O Lord, through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Come forward. Whoop, there we go. Sorry about that, Kim. You can sit in either one, Arlene. Take your choice. Many of you in our congregation have known Arlene for quite a time. And I will say this, Arlene, I don't think there's anybody at Mayflower that inspires me more than you do. I remember when I first came to Mayflower, I greeted Arlene, and she would look at me, and I'd say something like, "How is it going, Arlene?" And she would respond, "I have nothing to complain about, and I'm having a dandy day." And that has been a constant source of inspiration, not only to me, but to many of you. So, Arlene, you're first up in Consecration Month, and so I'll ask you to begin by responding to this question. To your memory, what? When did you come to Mayflower?
Well, approximately, over 10 years ago, if not further, and I started with the dinners. Okay. And my husband and I came here, and then I entered the church each week because I live close here, and I could walk with a walker, and then I was offered rides, and I'm still coming.
Okay. Who is it that brought Arlene this morning? Lillian. Okay. Many of you have been involved in those kind of transportation details, and I think it's important to understand that just offering a ride to church is one of the most important things we can do. So Lillian and many others who have done duty over the years, what a blessed ministry that is. And just because she mentioned something that is close to the church, how many of you are members or friends of Mayflower because the church was simply in your neighborhood? All right, there are several here that attend because we're in the neighborhood, and this is the primary place where we serve. So you came to the dinners. I assume that would be Saturday suppers, right? Yeah. And tell me anything you could say to this congregation, Arlene, about things that not only drew you here but have sustained you in a continuing membership here at Mayflower.
Well, to begin with, several years ago, I went to the Congregational Church down on Pennsylvania Eureka. I sang in the choir there, and then I had to enter another town to go to work, and I sort of drifted, I guess. And then when I came back to the Lansing area and lived in the Grand Haven Manor senior citizen area, I entered this church, and I'm enjoying it.
All right. How many of you can identify with ever drifting away from God or the church, right? I think we can all at some point identify with that. So, Arlene, you are legally blind, right? And tell us a little bit about your experience of learning Braille.
Well, to begin with, I had full vision until I was taken ill and caused the loss of my vision, and I entered the Michigan School for the Blind here in Lansing, which I'm very grateful for. I wish we still had one. Anyway, I went to the School for the Blind, and then I went to work in different areas in Michigan through the Commission for the Blind as a Michigan blind vendor. And I worked there 28 years, and then I retired. Pastor Mark, I'm lost.
You did exactly what I asked, Arlene. You did just great. You don't seem lost at all. Sometimes I feel lost, but you're doing just great. So, Arlene, I'm just going to follow up on that. Do you have a Bible in Braille?
Pardon me?
Do you have a Bible that's in Braille?
No, I don't.
Are they available?
I would imagine so.
I'm going to suggest that we take it on ourselves as a congregation to make sure that Arlene has a Bible in Braille. And with that, just so we know, Arlene, what it's like, Do you ever go anywhere and reach for something in Braille and it's not there and you feel a little bit lost in that circumstance?
Well, mentioning Braille, I don't use the Braille any longer as I had because of the numbness in my hands, because of health. Braille is a beautiful thing, but it's something you have to keep up with.
Fair enough. I took piloting lessons many years ago, and I can guarantee you that if after a few years of not flying, I don't think any of you would want to fly with me until I circled the pattern a few times. So, Arlene, you are a great inspiration to me, and I know to most of the people out here, especially the ones that know you. And so I'd just like to give Arlene a round of applause.
Thank you.
Thank you, Arlene. Okay. You can head back. Yep.
And he will raise you up on eagle's wings.
You may know that song comes directly from the scriptures, and I didn't look it up, but I think, according to my memory, and I was encouraged as a young person growing up in the church to memorize scripture, and you can check me out on this one, but I think that's Isaiah 40, verse 31. Let us pray. Eternal God and merciful Lord, I humbly thank you for the privilege I have as pastor to bring our collective needs to God in these special moments and times of prayer. Help us to pray always, not just alone, but together. Today I would remember the needs of the global manufacturing and supply chains that have been seriously strained and threaten the economy of the whole world by labor shortage, pandemic, and other supply issues. Help us to know, O Lord, that our world leaders and our national leaders need prayer as they need great wisdom in dealing with something that could result in catastrophic economic collapse. Help us as we pray to have our ultimate security and hope placed not in the often and false hope of personal financial security or even our national security, but help us to affirm together and to place our hope and trust in the Lord of the universe who loves us and cares for us. Help us not to take for granted a stable economy, even as we consecrate and dedicate our gifts to you once again. But we do thank you. We thank you for work and the opportunities for gainful employment, or even the tasks around our homes. We thank you for the opportunities we have and the blessings we receive, which can benefit not only us, but our neighbors, our church, and even as we give to the needs of our world. So now, Lord, we come to that time in our service of offering to you our time, our talents, our resources, and all that we have, and consecrate to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we remember the needs of our own congregation, and so as I pray, I will give pause for you to mention names of those that you would like to mention in prayer that have not been spoken from the pulpit, and then when we share together the Lord's Prayer, we'll use the words debt and debtors. Let us pray. Lord, in our praying, help us to put our caring, our love, into action. We thank you for the opportunities you give us to minister to those who need our prayers, some desperately, some continuingly, and others spontaneously. So Lord, be with all of those who need our prayers, including these. Linda Williams, and Dick, as he has shared with us good news that Linda has been released from hospice care and yet so desirous of our continued prayers, be with Linda and Dick Williams. Be with Karen Crampo's brother, Bob Linderman. Gil Wanger, as he goes for a surgical procedure this week, for Kathy Woodward, for Debbie Conlon, Paula Kay, Kara Davis, Phil Chamberlain, Sheila Reinbrandt, and others who we've either forgotten or simply mentioned now. Lord, you've heard these names and you know each one because we know you know our names. And so we offer all of these prayers to you in earnest belief and trust that you not only hear, but you can and do answer our prayers. So in your own time and way, with our support of care and love, bless and help and heal and comfort in each of the prayers offered this morning collectively. And now we join together in the beloved prayer of our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's gospel reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. It is enlightening to know that even the disciples were astounded when they heard Jesus' perspective on wealth and possessions. What is your response? Hear now these words. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You must not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, with God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, these are hard words. Help us to receive them, not as people who are shocked, but people who want to listen and hear the voice and words of our Lord. So bless these words humbly offered. Amen. And I take just a little detour this morning because we have a whole congregation full of supporters and diehard fans of Michigan State. Oops. Well, we're 6-0, but if you're a Blue fan, they're 6-0 too. So, Ross, where are you? Okay. Yeah. I had a visit this week, as I have several in the last few weeks, with Jan Holcomb. And as this congregation knows, Jan Holcomb's empty seat back there would be filled with green and white celebrating so far the wonderful season that we are enjoying as fans here in Lansing, or in the case of someone that roots for the other team, they're doing well too, and it'll be quite a game coming up, won't it? So, I mentioned to you that this is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. That might not mean a whole lot, but it tells you that we follow the lectionary theme most every Sunday. And so I want you to know, I give a disclaimer here, that I chose this passage of Scripture before I realized that this Sunday would be the beginning of our October emphasis that we call Consecration Month. And as we have announced, October 31st will be Consecration Sunday. And yes, we will be emphasizing Christian stewardship from now until then. And we will be giving you and all of us an opportunity to participate in the work of God's kingdom through the ministry of the Mayflower Congregational Church. Now, admittedly, we also want to inspire everyone to get involved to the level of your desire, your gifts and your abilities into the life and ministry of the Mayflower Church, and especially coming out of and still in the pandemic, these are challenging times, as you know. So I encourage everyone to consider it, but no one should have to come to church and hear a lecture from the preacher about money. It might work the other way around, because I have learned much from you and from the leadership of this church in the management of money. And I've learned also from my wife, who is a good manager of money. So you're not going to get that today. You're not going to get a lecture. Jesus had some rather shocking things to say about money and stewardship. And we all need to hear it and digest it. But I have something shocking to say. Are you ready? Here it is. And maybe this isn't so shocking. You will never have to buy your way into any aspect of participating in or influencing the ministry of the Mayflower Church. In Isaiah chapter 55, in the very first verse of that chapter, the prophet extends the invitation to a free banquet to all with these words: "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And Jesus reiterated that same invitation in John chapter 7 when he says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink." Paul also tells us in Romans that God has given us salvation as a free gift. You will never have to buy your way in here at Mayflower. Thanks be to God. So while we listen to the words of Jesus, the head of our church, I assure you that this is not, nor will it be in the next few Sundays, a fundraising sermon. If that's the case, we just ask everybody to get their purses and wallets out, and we just see what we could do. But that's between you and God. Nonetheless, what Jesus said about money was shocking, perplexing, and astounding to both a wealthy man and the disciples who, as we heard, gave up everything to follow Jesus, and yet they too were astounded. Why? First, because what Jesus asked this wealthy man to do is blatantly absurd. That's the way I first read this. It is not until we come to the same conclusion as those who first heard it do we understand their shock, their perplexity, and their astonishment. It is not only absurd, but ridiculous and foolhardy. It would never work, and none of us would be willing to do it. Does anybody want to volunteer to sell all that you have, bring the proceeds to the front of the church, and then let us decide how we're going to distribute it to the poor? You can call it hyperbole, and Jesus used hyperbole a lot, but we must try to look a little deeper in order to begin to understand the hard sayings of Jesus. Because on the surface of it, taking Jesus at face value, if everyone took this literally, the world's economy would come to a grinding halt. Money makes the world go round, does it not? Maybe this should be a discussion rather than a sermon, but we'll hold that for some other time. Jesus' words were shocking to a wealthy man who treasured his possessions. They are shocking to us too. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, we treasure our possessions, do we not? I don't see anybody shaking their heads. I've got things that I treasure. Money, you could include that. And the disciples, you would think, already had this thing figured out, for they had given up practically everything to follow Christ. But they too were astounded. So what's going on here? In order to sort this thing out and not totally diminish what Jesus was asking of this wealthy man, or indeed what he might be asking of us, let's begin by analyzing the question that is one of the most common questions any person of faith asks or ponders. If we believe in a loving God, and if we believe in the concept of a God-implanted soul into the heart of human beings, we too, just like this wealthy man, would not want to spend a godless eternity, would we? So there is the question. What must I do, good teacher, to inherit eternal life? That is the question of the ages. What do you think happens to you when you die? Now, in the church, we have some pretty pat answers for that. Where are you going to spend eternity? Once again, in the church and as faithful believers of Jesus Christ, we have some pretty certain answers about that. And yet we all know there's mystery to that. I say it every time that we remember or celebrate the life of a person within our midst. Of course, we all want to go to heaven. And we want to be with God, as the old spiritual says. When Jesus tells us to store up treasures in heaven, which is what he mentions right here in this passage, he is not necessarily talking about the afterlife. Rather, he is talking about the joys of the here and now, about how it is we store up treasures in heaven. This man said he knew and followed all the commandments from his youth. When Jesus asked him, in response to the question, keep the commandments. An interesting thought for us as Christian believers. He said, I've kept them all from my youth. Is there anybody here that could say that? I can't. As you may know, there is a parallel story in Matthew and Luke. In each of those renderings, the man asking the question was a rich young ruler. So we don't exactly know if this was the same story, which leaves out that the man might have been a religious teacher. But regardless, Jesus assumed that all good Jews knew the commandments. And what is interesting about us as gospel believers is that Jesus was a Jew. And he answered, as a Jew would answer, keep the commandments. It is also the same question that was asked in the parable of the Good Samaritan. That's how the whole thing started. What must I do to inherit eternal life? When the question was asked, in each instance, Jesus gave that response, which indicates what all Jews, including Jesus, knew, that the law and the commandments are what give life. Interesting perspective. What do the commandments say? And it is very curious to notice which ones Jesus mentions and which ones he doesn't mention. In each case, Jesus leaves out the ones having to do with our relationship with God, like, you shall have no other gods before me. Instead, he includes commandments which have to do with our human relationships. Each of them are included in the 10, except the one that is put in, if you may have caught it, do not defraud. If you have memorized the 10 commandments, that wasn't in there. And Jesus, I think, had a keen insight to what might have been defective in the thinking of a man who said he kept all the commandments. Jesus was perceptive about the subtlety of human nature and compassionately knows our tendencies. The scripture tells us that he loved that man. Jesus responded to this heart-hardened man with love and compassion. He was also aware that we don't tend to know what we think we know, and we don't always live what we know. There is the letter of the law, and there is the spirit of the law. In each case, for Jesus, the spirit supersedes the letter. The nuance here is the relationship and love we express not only to God, but to our fellow humans, especially, and in each case where this answer came, the ones who need our help, our compassion, and love the most. The poor, the destitute, the one laying in the ditch having been beaten by robbers and thieves, the ones who have not had the same opportunities, education, or privileges that many of us enjoy. When these requirements are brought to the forefront of the assumed knowledge of the commandments of God, we are all left wanting. Especially when Jesus said, repeating the law, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So I have a question. Do you ever read the daily readings that Lorraine puts out every Monday in the e-notes? I know there are some. Well, this week, I want you to pay a little more attention to that because it's going to all come from one chapter. That may sound like a relief until I tell you that the chapter has 176 verses. So I'm laying out a challenge for this congregation, and I'll piece it out for you. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. When you read, look for the reactions, emotions, and states of mind when the psalmist ponders what it means to truly value the commandments, the statutes, the ordinances, and the decrees of God. To give you an example, in the first few verses of that chapter, there are words like delight, happy, blessed, and treasure. And that's not the way we usually think of it when we think about obeying the law. We do it delightfully. Or sometimes we do. If the speed limit is 65 and we don't like it, that isn't exactly a delight if we want to drive 65 or 70 with our radar detector on. When we read these, we begin to understand what Jesus knew was missing in the wealthy man, the disciples, and us when there are words like the delight of God's law, the happy and blessed state and treasuring of what it is that God wants us to do. And I think Jesus recognized that in the wealthy man and even those disciples who had chosen to follow him by giving up their occupations. Even the disciples were astounded. The easiest thing to miss in the application of the law, of course, is the law of love. That is what Consecration Month here at Mayflower is all about. When the commands of God become our motive rather than our obligation, we will no longer think of this command of Jesus to be absurd. After all, our possessions are a gift from God, are they not? There is a time in our lives when we should think less about accumulating and more about giving. And in the context of Jesus' words, I ask this question. Is that time now, Mayflower? There is another nuance to this story. And here it is. And you've heard it. I went through and I saw about 25 quotes that had to do with money or our common understandings. If I put it out there this morning, we could come up with a lot of them. But here is one that I think relates directly to this passage, and that is, money talks. Does it not? Let me explain. In the ancient patronage system in which the wealthy were celebrated as communal benefactors, made it appear that the local aristocracy was endowed with wealth and power by God, the divine king and patron. The Hebrew prophets got themselves killed by constantly challenging the notion that God cared about lavish worship in the absence of justice and concern for the poor and weak. People naturally assumed that the wealthy elite were closer to God and more likely to be saved than were the common people. Nothing seems to have changed since those ancient times, has it? Let's just admit together that wealth impresses all of us. I admit it does me. Have you ever watched the show? I think it was on years ago, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Or was there another one called Real Housewives? Okay. We can all admit certain things. We've all dreamed about what we would do if we won the lottery, haven't we? And you know, the way I justify this is everything I would do for the Mayflower Church. That's kind of weak and lame, isn't it, if I thought about and dreaming about that I'm going to win the lottery? Because of this aspect of human nature, there is yet another nuance to this story. Jesus wasn't rich, but he was famous. The disciples became gatekeepers as to who it was that had easy access to Jesus. The wealthy man came up to Jesus unimpeded. They all knew he was wealthy, but when people brought children to see Jesus just a few verses before, the disciples tried to keep them away and spoke sternly to them. When a blind beggar known as Bartimaeus tried to approach Jesus, the disciples tried to keep him from interrupting Jesus' journey into Jerusalem. Jesus reprimanded the disciples each time. So we can understand the perplexity of the disciples who had already left homes and occupations to follow Jesus when they heard Jesus say that, and this is the hard saying, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the thing that strikes me about that is, when I consider the world's population, I'm in the 1%. The disciples asked the obvious question, then who can be saved? Like, can anyone be saved? And we might posit the same question. The answer to that question then would be obvious. Seemingly no one. The story turns when the rich man, the disciples, and it turns for the rich man, the disciples, and us with the words of Jesus, with God, all things are possible. Among the many hard sayings of Jesus, some of the most troubling and perplexing concern money. Give to anyone who begs with no qualifications. How do you feel about that when you pull up to a place where somebody has a sign and you know what they might do with that money? I struggle with that too, folks. In other words, don't concern yourself with what that person is going to do with the money, just give it. Do not concern yourself with tomorrow's worries. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Consider the birds of the air that do not sow or reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And when you think about your clothing, consider the lilies of the field, because they neither toil or spin. Yet even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not clothed like one of these. Oh, to have things and worries removed from our lives. So I leave you with what I want all of us to think about this consecration month. Let's not give in to worry. Let's not worry about the finances of our church or our own finances, which can easily paralyze us or diminish our ability to give and share. Let's let God do His thing. God has always been there for us and will continue to be as we strive to find new and creative ways to do ministry and to manage the affairs of the household of God as well as our own personal finances. The possibilities are endless for us, and I am more than eternally optimistic about the possibilities continuing so for Mayflower. The church in general is in precipitous decline. But the gates of hell shall not and will not prevail. With that, another hard saying of Jesus becomes one of joy and happiness. In Luke 12:48, Jesus said, "From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required." This message is twofold. At Mayflower, members of the beloved community, we take care of each other. We do our best to meet each other's needs, especially among those who have very little. But fortunately, most of us have been blessed beyond measure. And when we acknowledge that, our lives and our church will be blessed with cheerful response to the commands of God, fleshed out by our Lord and lived out by our church and each of us. Instead of shock, perplexity, or an astounding response, we will allow the miraculous, loving work of God to flow through our lives, our church, our neighborhood, our community, and indeed our world. Thanks be to God. And now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.
Sent forth by God's blessing, our true faith confessing, the people of God from his dwelling take leave. The service is ended, oh, now be extended the fruits of your worship in all who believe. The seed of his teaching, receptive souls reaching, shall blossom in